Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ, a cautionary tale is meant to warn the hearer of danger. Often they come in the form of a parable or a fable, but there are times when they are the relating of a true event. You know, the kinds of things we tell our children when they are teenagers so that they won't make the same mistakes that we made. In this part of his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul related several of these actual historical cautionary tales to warn the Corinthians and us of danger, a particular danger called apostasy. Apostasy is to turn away from saving faith in the true God. The Apostle Paul did not want believers then or us to fall sin to praise temptations. Those temptations can crush the believer if we are overconfident in ourselves, or if we think that we can join our faith in God with love for sin, or if we think that we can tempt the Lord God's patience. So this morning I invite you to hear, mark, learn, and take to heart this word of God, and let these be lessons to us. First of all, because they occurred as examples, and secondly, because they come from a faithful God. In my years of ministry, I have never had a member tell me, "Pastor, I'm a Christian today, but you know, tomorrow I'm going to reject my faith in the saving God." I never had a Christian say to me, "Pastor, I recognize what God's holy will is in this regard, but tomorrow I'm going to reject that holy will, and I'm going to love that sin and call myself a believer in Christ at the same time." But those things have happened. Far more often than I want to remember, far more often, and with people that perhaps, humanly speaking, you would have never thought that it would happen with them. But it also happened to some among the children of Israel. And that's a cautionary tale for us. Let these be lessons to us because they occurred, Paul says, as examples for us. Things were going well at first when God delivered the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea and they were traveling through the desert. They had good things to eat. They had water to drink out of solid rock. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had Moses. They had good leadership. And right before our text, Paul says, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Most of all, they had the gospel of the coming Savior who would die for their sins and in whom they trusted in His coming for the forgiveness of their sins. But then we read, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Why? Because quickly things changed. They began to complain. They began to grumble. They rejected Moses. And most of all, they rejected the Lord. It started out well. They plundered their enemies. They loved God and were thankful for what He had done. But then they rejected Him to worship false gods. They rejected him to join their lives with the heathen around them and to indulge in pagan revelry. They built false gods and committed sexual immorality. This is particularly the account of the golden calf, remember, from Sunday school, while Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And God struck 23,000 of them dead. In another incident that we shared with our children last Friday night in Vacation Bible School, the people began to complain about the food and about Moses and said, if only we'd have died in the desert, if only God would have left us in slavery in Egypt, we're going to turn against this God. And God in judgment sent poisonous serpents among the people. And they bit many people and they died. And in another account recorded in Numbers chapter 14, the people rebelled against God and God sent the destroying angel to slaughter the rebels. Your friends in Christ, if you think that you are standing firm, be careful so that you don't fall. You don't think you will. You're not planning on doing it. But it could very well happen if we become overconfident in ourselves. If we begin to think that we can combine love for idols, materialism, pleasure, sexual immorality, and other idols, if we can yoke ourselves to those on the one hand, and love and faith in the true God, in Jesus Christ, with the other, if we think that we can test God over and over again, and He will just let us keep on sinning and loving that sin, and we'll do nothing about it. Paul warned the Corinthians, the believers there. They, of course, did not know these Old Testament Bible stories because most of them were Gentiles. And that's why Paul shared them with them and said, these things occurred as examples for you so that you will not do the same evil things that they are doing. They were living in the fulfillment of the ages, as are we. That judgment against idolatry and immorality that took place in the Old Testament, that judgment of God against unbelief is going to come any second now at the end of the world. And we want to remain standing, to be standing. And so we follow their examples. We learn their lessons, so that we don't do the same evil things that they do. Remembering that those evil things were simply fruits of their unbelief and their rejection of the true God. The Bible does not teach anywhere that just because you are a Christian today, that you will stay a Christian tomorrow. Even if you decide to test God and yoke your heart and mind and will with other gods and with the love of sin. These lessons are examples for just the opposite. But these are lessons for us also in another way, not just because they occurred as examples for us so that we don't make their mistakes, but also they come from a faithful God. Let's be clear, first of all, that the temptation to sin never comes from God. Paul's not talking about temptations that come to sin. Those don't come from God. But what does come from God is the way to overpower temptation. The way to stand up under temptation, so that it doesn't get the best of us. And that way is the spiritual rock that follows us. We eat of that same spiritual bread. We drink of that same spiritual rock, that same spiritual food, and drink of that same spiritual rock that followed the Israelites. That rock is Christ. We have the gospel. We have from our faithful God the power to overcome the temptation to sin. Where did that power come from? Jesus overcame temptation, remember, in the wilderness by not giving in to the temptations of Satan. And in that overcoming is our power to overcome temptation. Jesus overcame temptation by suffering and dying on the cross and by paying for the guilt and punishment that giving in to the temptation to sin brings. Even when you and I give in to the temptation to sin, it doesn't destroy us because we have that forgiveness of Christ that overcomes the results of sin in our lives. Paul writes, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That way out is the gospel. That way out is the forgiveness of our sins. The temptation to sin primarily here, or temptation here means primarily the temptation to sin. But sometimes, don't we talk about the tests that God gives us, the chastenings that He sends us, the difficulties and the problems and the challenges of health and wealth and other things in life. Remember, those are not sin in and of themselves because God never tempts us to sin. But the devil can use even those good blessings of losses, trials, difficulties, tribulations. The devil can use those as a way of trying to get us to sin. Remember Job? Satan said, if you take these things away from him, he'll curse your name. So Satan used what God sent that was not a sin in itself as a temptation to sin in Job's life so that he would curse God for what happened. So either way that we understand the word temptation here, we have the way to stand up under it. First of all, because God never sends more of those challenges than we can bear, so that we don't let Satan get us to sin against God by not accepting them. When we pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, God does block many temptations to sin in our lives. If God didn't block the temptations to sin, those would so overwhelm us that we would be destroyed. But God blocks those. God filters those so that we only receive as much as we can bear when we use the means He has given us to overcome it. And that means is the Word of God. That means is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I don't use that means and I turn away from God, it's not because the devil tempted me so much that I couldn't resist. It's not because I had so many difficulties in my life that there was nothing I could do except curse God. It's our own fault because we didn't use the word and the gospel that God gives. The way to stand up under temptation is the love and forgiveness we have in Christ. Listen to these words of our Lenten hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. If you think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, Here you see its nature rightly. Here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. There is that taking temptation lightly thing again. The greatest temptation that the devil gives us in sin is to take it lightly. To think it's not that serious. That it can't overcome me. That it will never get the best of me. That I am strong in myself. You know, this is a person who says to their pastor, "Pastor, I'm having a lot of problems in life right now. I got a lot of temptations to sin in my life. And I know I haven't been in church, but when I get these things all taken care of, I'll be back." That is not taking heed to the seriousness and the danger of sin. That is not making use of the thing that God gives us to overcome it. And then God says, remember, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Think of your temptations to sin. What are they? Aren't they the same ones that the Israelites had? Temptation to gold, temptation to sexual immorality, temptation to popularity with the people living around them, temptation to join together with others in pagan revelry, temptation to not listen to God's Word, to not pay attention to the leaders that God appointed over them for their spiritual well-being. The temptations that are common to them are common to us. God never picks you out for some unique and special temptation that nobody else has ever faced. It's common to us all, as is the power to overcome it. Jesus Christ, who bore that temptation and overcame it, who bore our sins and overcame them for the world on the cross. These temptations, examples, lessons, come from a faithful God. So, on the one hand, be careful so that you don't fall. On the other hand, be thankful that God is faithful and has given you a way to stand up under them. God has promised you the means of grace, the way to stand up, and all will be well. Let these lessons, or let these examples for Israel, be lessons for us. Amen.